Radio Prague News.
The US says it wants to locate a planned radar base in Jince, central Bohemia. Jiří Čunek has apparently given conflicting explanations as to the origin of an alleged bribe. And Nicole Vaidicheva has been beaten in the semifinals of tennis's Australian Open. The United States has asked the Czech government if it can locate a planned radar base on a military zone in Jince, central Bohemia. One other location had been under consideration, Libava in North Moravia. The radar would be part of the United States' Global Missile Defense Program. If approved by the Czech Parliament, the radar base should house around 200 U.S. soldiers and civilians and go into operation in 2011. Deputy Prime Minister Jiří Čunek has apparently given conflicting explanations as to the origin of half a million crowns, which he's accused of having taken as a bribe. Police suspect the Christian Democrats leader of receiving the money from a building company when he was mayor of the town of Szczecin. In recent days, Senator Čunek has said the money represented family savings, but police say that during earlier questioning, he said he had forgotten where he got the money. The Senate's Immunity Committee has recommended that Mr. Čunek be stripped of his parliamentary immunity to allow criminal proceedings against him to begin. A final decision will be made in about 2 weeks' time. Flights resumed at Prague's Ruzyně Airport at 9 a.m. on Thursday. The airport had been closed for almost 30 hours due to heavy snows. The closure forced airlines to cancel hundreds of flights, stranding thousands of passengers. Firefighters have issued a warning against falling icicles. They have removed dangerous icicles at scores of locations in Prague alone. Ambulance crews, meanwhile, say they've been called out to deal with dozens of injuries caused by people slipping on snow and ice. The Czech women's tennis number one, Nicole Vaidicheva, has failed to reach her first Grand Slam final. Vaidicheva, who is 17, was beaten 7-6, 6-4 in the semifinals of the Australian Open by Serena Williams of the United States. My name is Ian Willoughby. You'll find more stories at radio.cz. But for now, that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Dita Asiedu. Coming up next, the government faces its first crisis just days after winning a vote of confidence. A Nobel Prize-winning humanitarian relief organization opens an office in Prague. And you think that's cheese on your pizza? Well, think again. In Panorama, we look into a new project that aims at boosting the self-confidence of the Czech labor force. Just 2 weeks after it was appointed and a mere 5 days after winning a confidence vote in the lower house of parliament, the country's new centre-right government has run into serious problems. On Wednesday, Culture Minister Helena Trzeštíková unexpectedly resigned, and Regional Development Minister Jiří Čunek may be stripped of his immunity on suspicion of having accepted a bribe. Daniela Lazarová has the story.
The new cabinet has barely had time to get to work, and already scandals surrounding two of its ministers are splashed across the front pages. On Wednesday, Culture Minister Helena Trzeštíková handed in her resignation because of political pressure by the Prime Minister over the appointment of a deputy minister she did not want. To make matters worse, the Prime Minister's protégé is alleged to have been the lobbyist who is credited with having convinced two Social Democrat deputies to tolerate the centre-right government. Mrs. Trzeštíková, a well-known documentary filmmaker, handed in her resignation and disappeared, without so much as a press conference. The Prime Minister, besieged by newsmen to explain the matter, merely said he was sorry to see her go. Political analyst Petr Just says that while the scandal may give the opposition a stick to beat the Prime Minister with, such deals are not unusual in politics.
Generally, giving political offices or giving state offices to people who somehow help the government in politics where you need to form coalition, where you negotiate, where actually forming a coalition is some kind of game, it's quite natural that you award people who worked for you by giving them offices. So I understand the public's disappointment or possible public disappointment, but on the other side, I would say it's quite natural and Czech Republic is no exception in this case.
Don't you think it was a risky move from the Prime Minister or whoever it was negotiating on his behalf to push so hard when she already threatened to resign last week?
It is risky. It's always risky, especially when the people who are supposed to hold those positions are not quite, let's say, clean, or if there are some suspicions on their previous activities, behavior, and so on. However, as I said, it's a game. It's a political game, and each actor plays in order to maximize their positions and try to influence the final conclusion as much as possible.
Although the scandal around the culture minister's resignation will probably soon blow over, the case of regional development minister Jiří Čunek looks far more serious. The police claim they have evidence that Mr. Čunek accepted a £500,000 bribe when he was still in regional politics 2 years ago. Unfortunately, Mr. Čunek himself has not been very convincing in explaining the origin of the money. He first told the media that it was family savings, but later changed his story for the police, saying he couldn't remember where the money'd come from. The premise, innocent until proven guilty, is not acceptable in high politics, and although the Prime Minister has not yet moved to replace Mr. Čunek, the opposition is very vocal in calling for the minister's resignation. Political analyst Petr Just says that in one way or another, the government will have to pay the price.
These first two problems definitely will weaken the government, and we have to take into account that the government is weak as itself, and any instability, any problem, any even small problem will cause bigger instability and will lead to bigger instability. This is a situation that Mr. Paroubek and opposition generally welcomes, because the weaker government is, the stronger opposition is.
Political commentator Petr Just on the new government's first serious blow. Médecins Sans Frontières, the Nobel Prize-winning humanitarian relief organization, has just opened an office in Prague, a move it hopes will see an upsurge in the number of skilled Czech and Slovak volunteers it can recruit for its missions. Colleen O'Connor has the story.
Problems can occur and they will not receive treatment. There is no other NGO, no other actor that is providing care. So if a tree has fallen on the road...
A report on the activity of Médecins Sans Frontières, or Doctors Without Borders, in Niger, just one of the many trouble spots around the world where this NGO is active. Médecins Sans Frontières, or MSF, uses doctors, nurses and other skilled volunteers to provide medical and humanitarian assistance in the developing world and war zones. It has played a major part in countless international relief efforts, ranging from the 1984 famine in Ethiopia to the long-running civil war in Sri Lanka. For many, the care provided by MSF volunteers is the only medical help they have access to. At the moment, there are only about 30 Czech volunteers attached to MSF. Up to now, they have had to apply to work for the organisation via its Vienna office. Now, however, it will be a lot easier for MSF to recruit Czech and Slovak staff because it has just opened a branch in Prague. MSF director Richard Walker says the time is right to open an office to recruit directly from the Czech Republic and Slovakia, because both countries have a lot to offer an organisation like Médecins Sans Frontières.
We have excellent education, medical education, particularly in Czech. We also have a population who are, let's say, adventurous in terms of their travelling and their ability to move around the world. We also find that their skill sets, their language skills are appropriate for our organisation. So it's a perfect target for us in terms of recruitment, particularly of medical and non-medical staff here.
One Czech doctor who has been cooperating with MSF for a number of years is obstetrician and gynaecologist Andrej Šemetka, who has been on missions to places like Sri Lanka and Liberia. Although, like many Czechs, he was initially attracted to MSF because of the opportunities it gave him to travel and see the world, his continued involvement with the organisation is based on something a lot deeper.
I liked travelling a lot when I was in a medical university, and so that was basically the main interest in the beginning. I thought it would be nice to somehow combine medical work and travelling, you know, learning new cultures and that kind of stuff. So I just took some courses in tropical medicine, and after I finished the university and got my specialization, I applied for MSF. And then I went on a first mission, and then after you actually work on a first mission, it all changes and the motivation is somehow completely different, and the interest in traveling somehow is not the most important. The most important thing is the feeling you get from the work, you know, the help you can provide. This is the nice thing about working for MSF.
It is hoped that with the opening of a branch in Prague, Médecins Sans Frontières will soon be recruiting a lot more people from the Czech Republic's highly skilled medical workforce in the near future. Richard Walker also says that the opening of a Prague branch of MSF should also raise the organisation's profile in the Czech Republic and Slovakia, and help focus the public's attention on some of the crisis regions where it operates.
The second pillar of MSF is witnessing and advocacy, and our job also in Czech will be to raise awareness of humanitarian issues around the world, crises that MSF is involved in, and our interventions.
MSF Director Richard Walker ending that report by Colleen O'Connor. Now, everyone knows the basic ingredients of pizza are dough, tomato sauce and mozzarella cheese. But a new study has found that much of the pizza being served in the Czech Republic is made with so-called fake cheeses that aren't really cheese at all. Ilya Maritz has more.
It looks like cheese, smells like cheese, and it often even tastes something like cheese, but cheese it isn't. Petra Zachary of the Consumers Defense Association explains what her group found when they took the so-called cheese being served in some restaurants to the laboratory.
We did discover that what is basically very common on the Czech market, especially in big stores and restaurants, which is alarming, is that people get fake cheese instead of real cheese. You order, for example, pizza, and there should be cheese because it's written on the menu with cheese, or fried cheese, which is a very typical Czech meal, but you get fake cheese. It's not real cheese.
Yes, even the classic Czech dish of deep-fried cheese, or smažený sýr, is often made from imitation cheese, usually a combination of vegetable oil and starch. Real cheese is made from milk and contains milk fat, milk carbohydrates, and milk protein.
We actually made a little excursion, and we did taste 10 of them. And in many of them, you can taste the difference. Some of them are really disgusting, and you can really tell the difference because it's usually different color. It's like transparent or white. It's more liquid. It has different texture, and it's not tasty at all.
The Consumers Defense Association found 19 restaurants alone in the region of North Bohemia serving this stuff. Zakari says imitation cheeses are often found in fast food because it's cheaper. The Czech Republic's chief health officer, Michal Vít, has promised action.
We will make it a normal part of our inspections. We'll go to pizzerias and take samples from what they call cheese, and if after we test the fat and find that it's vegetable oil and not milk fat, we will declare it to be fake cheese.
Jestli je tam použit rostlinný tuk, a tím pádem to definujeme jako náhražku.
Recently, Dr. Vít was authorized to inspect for false advertising in food products.
Ministerstvo a ta má sekce hygienická, ta vždycky kontrolovala.
The Ministry of Health and my department, the Public Health Authority, have until now only been checking for harmful substances that could hurt your health. But under new health laws, we're now also responsible for ensuring that customers are not misled. And this is the first such case we've identified.
Whatever harm fake cheese may do to the public trust, it probably won't do anything bad for your health. It's lower in fat than real cheese and contains no cholesterol.
Nepředstavuje to žádné zdravotní riziko. Opravdu se nejedná.
Please don't think that this is a health risk. There really is agreement that these imitation cheeses are not harmful to the health. It's just that if you buy a product and you think you know what you're getting, you shouldn't have to find out later that you're eating something other than mozzarella.
Petra Zachary of the Consumers Defense Association says the manufacturers of fake cheese often label the product in a way that is misleading to customers.
It cannot be called cheese, so it has funny names like pizza mozzarella, alla mozzarella, or Ambra, or pizza mia, or cheese alternative, and things like that. Usually you have real cheese and fake cheese, and it has the same packaging. So sometimes people, when they hurry, they just grab one package, and they don't realize it's actually not the real one, but the fake one. We found it in Del Vita and Albert and places like that.
Petra Zachary of the Consumers Defense Association. For those of you who've just tuned in, this is Radio Prague, where it's time now for Panorama. The civic organization Promethea has just launched a new project aimed at boosting the self-confidence of the Czech nation, especially those in the labor force. The project supports the prevention of unemployment, the development of human resources, and integration into the labor market. It is funded from the budgets of both the state and the city of Prague, as well as the European Social Fund.
There are more target groups. There are unemployed people, there are mothers who go back to their normal life after maternity leave, there are people who search for their confidence at work or at home, for example, students who search for their first job, how to prepare themselves for the first job interview.
Says Promethea's Ondřej Sedláček, adding that the two-year program offers six cycles of free seminars that focus on self-confidence from different angles.
First seminar is about health and self-confidence and about making your own image and believe in yourself. The second seminar will be about self-confidence from a view of psychologists. The third seminar is about communication and how it can influence your self-confidence. Fourth seminar will be about cultural and social political reviews. History is something about your knowledge, how your knowledge can enhance your self-confidence. Fifth seminar will be about image etiquette, your behavior, your self-presentation in different situations. The sixth seminar is about relaxation, about healthy lifestyle. And the seventh seminar is a little bit unique, a little bit special. It will be partly combined from all the other seminars. And also there will be psychiatrists that will define self-confidence.
Venda Vaničková is one of the lecturers.
I teach about image, about a style, about the perfect outfit. But feel it inside yourself. Be authentic. And I think that this is most important information for all the people who come. All the people had some questions and are interested how to do these things and how is complete the colors and the styles and how to use the styles for all situations through the day and through the life, because it's changing every time. And I have the examples. And I have some pictures, and sometimes I have the some symbols or examples of the concretely people who's sitting there.
You told me earlier that having your own image doesn't cost much.
Yes, this is what I think. I think that the image is not about money, but this is about the priorities of life, of the concretely personality. Because everyone is special, and everyone has the best things what want to present out of the personality. And I think that this is most important than the quality or price of the things. That's it.
Dana was among the four dozen people who took part in the first seminar.
I was very happy that the seminar was happening. I think that it's very, very good that the seminar is for free and that a lot of people can go on it and learn new things.
What was your overall impression of that first seminar that you went to?
It was very interesting. The teachers had a lot of interesting ideas how to make life better, but I would prefer to have the seminar much more interactive, that I can have more practical knowledges for the future, for my life.
For the woman behind the project, Hanna Sejčková, such an initiative is long overdue in the Czech Republic.
From a historic point of view, we were constantly being treaded on by someone. Our more recent communist past is one that we all remember very clearly. These memories are still deeply rooted in us. At home, we were allowed to say one thing, while at school or in public, we had to say something different. So people were afraid to express themselves and say what they felt, because they didn't know whether they were being monitored, whether it could affect their family. This is what we have inherited from those 40 years. We all know of someone who was imprisoned and so on. So our seminars can help people find themselves, to find their feet.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm grateful to step into the debate at this point. It is a very, very tough task we are standing in front of. We have to discuss the future of the United Nations. The, in fact, Secretary General today, the, in fact, leader of the United Nations organization, is no longer capable of substantial leadership and shall resign. And I will argue in my speech why he shall resign.
A student at Charles University's law faculty taking part in a debate on the United Nations. Law student Michal Hrušík believes far too little emphasis is put on the importance of assertiveness and self-awareness. And as a result, young Czechs are not ambitious.
Well, the main difference between the countries of post-communism and the countries like Ireland or UK or Australia lays, I think that the main cause is that these students, their initiative is actually not very high, and it's valid for the high school students and for the university students as well, and that means that their 4 or 5 years they just spend going to some pub, they then get some job, and that's all of their life career, and they are simply not interested in anything else. And in the Western countries, generally, the situation is rather different, and this means that these extracurricular activities are the part of their study program. So this means that they want to work on themselves and they want to achieve something in the future. They want to speak in a good manner.
While a growing number of young Czechs is trying to become more assertive, course organizer Hanna Sejčková says it could take a couple of decades to reverse the negative influence of the communist past.
The problem is mainly rooted among older groups of people, but they still pass this insecurity on to their children by raising them the way they themselves were raised. So at least one or two more generations will be affected. By giving people advice on how to combat their insecurities and stress and how to find solutions in various situations, we will achieve a positive result.
This year, the seminars are taking place at the Prague City Library. They're free of charge and open to all. If you speak Czech and are interested in attending, it is advisable that you register first. You can find more information on the official website www.prometea.cz. And that was this week's edition of Panorama. We still have a little bit of time to remind you of our monthly listeners competition that's part of our mailbox program.
You have until the end of January this month to send us your answer to the following question. What is the name of a Jesuit missionary born in Brno who worked as a botanist and pharmacist in the Philippines, where he also died in 1706? Half a century later, the Swedish scientist Carl Linné named a genus of flowering plants after him in his honor. Please send us your answers to english@radio.cz or Radio Prague 12099 Prague 2, the Czech Republic. And that's it from us for now. If you'd like to know more about this country, our programs, or the Radio Prague team, visit our website www.radio.cz/English. I'm Dita Asiedu. Goodbye and take care.